Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia and this is the space where we have honest, meaningful conversations about the issues that shape our well-being. This week, in honour of Mental Health Week, we're exploring a topic that feels especially timely and deeply human, living in the moment. In today's fast-paced, always connected world, many of us are pulled between the regrets of the past and the worries of the future. We scroll endlessly, juggle competing demands, and before we know it, the moment we're in has slipped right through our fingers. And yet, research shows that when we're able to stay present, even for a few moments, it can lower anxiety, strengthen our relationships, and bring us closer to a sense of joy and purpose that no achievement or possession can offer. That's why I'm so delighted to welcome a very special guest today, Kerry Ratzenberger, a highly respected life coach known for helping people transform their mindset, build confidence, and live a more intentional life. Kerry has worked with people from all walks of life who want to break free from limiting beliefs and experience more clarity, connection, and calm. Kerry, welcome to the show. Please tell us a little more about yourself before we dive in.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm Kerry Ratzenberger, a certified life coach that works with women healing from the impact of unhealthy relationships and unresolved trauma. I help my clients transform their mindsets, live with more intention, and also come back and become connected with themselves again. It's a, you know, I work about helping them gently return to themselves, trust their inner voice, and learn to how to safely live in the present moment. And I know it's not done easily, but that's why I'm so glad that we're going to talk about the presence of the power of it, living in the present, why it feels so hard, and how to start small.
Thank you, Kerry. I can already sense that this will be such a nourishing and relatable conversation. You know, I think many of us come to the topic of presence not from a place of calm, but from struggle. I know I have. There have been chapters in my life where I was constantly looking back, wondering what if, or leaping ahead, anxious about what was next. And what I've learned is that presence isn't about perfection. It's about learning to come back over and over to this moment, even when it's messy or uncomfortable. So let's start by grounding this conversation in what living in the moment means to you. Kerry, can you share what living in the moment means to you personally and in your coaching work?
I would love to. Living in the moment means being in touch with what's happening inside you and around you without judgment or that need to change it. Personally, it's taken years of practice for me. And I used to constantly be stuck in what's next or stuck in the past of the what ifs and the and the regret. But the more I learned to tune into my body and what I was feeling, how I'm breathing, what's happening inside me, and even taking a pause to hear the sound around me, the more peaceful and the center the centered I became. In coaching, I often say to my clients, the mind may resist, but our body lives in the now. So we start there. I might have a client notice, you know, put their feet on their ground. How are they feeling? Put their hand on their heart and just that. One woman I was working with just last week was in a toxic, you know, unhealthy marriage and always on high alert. So how we always started our sessions was taking 3 mindful breaths before each session. And over time, she really learned to regulate her nervous system, think clearly, and which allowed her to make better choices for herself.
That's amazing. Thank you. That's such a beautiful way to open this conversation up. You remind us that the presence isn't a performance, it's a relationship we build with ourselves and the world around us. And that's so important, isn't it? And Kerry, I'm really keen to know why do you think being present is so challenging for people today?
We are bombarded with information, comparison, demands all the time. Our nervous systems are just so overloaded. But beyond the fast, rapid pace we're living, many people carry around so much emotional stress, whether it's trauma, grief, overthinking, worrying about the future. Their bodies have been wired to anticipate threat, right? That amygdala has gotten so large, it's just overpowering our thoughts of reason. So they live in the future, or they embrace what's the next problem that's going to happen, or the past, they can't get out of that pain from the past. The presence can sometimes feel unfamiliar, unsafe. You know, when a client says to me when we first start, I can't be in the now, my reaction to them is, of course you can't. Your body has been, you know, doing what it's been trained to do for a long time. This isn't failure. You're in survival mode. And we gently reteach the present through safety. And safety is so important.
This is so true. And it's fascinating to consider how much of this challenge comes not only from our external environment, from those habits of our own minds, constantly comparing, evaluating, and planning. And that's such a thoughtful and compassionate approach that you take with your clients as well. You're recognizing that it's not about pushing people into presence, but about slowly creating safety for their nervous system to allow them to be present. And it's a beautiful reminder that healing isn't about forcing change, but about nurturing safety and trust one small step at a time. And I love that. Thank you. How does presence impact our mental health and emotional well-being? If you have people that are resistant and saying, I can't be here right now, I can't be present, how does your work impact their mental health and emotional well-being?
Let's go real quick and talk about the understanding of presence. Presence is the opposite of spiraling. Yes. And I think it's important for people to understand that before we go to the next step.
Absolutely.
Because living in the presence can interrupt anxiety, can interrupt us so worried about the future. And it also grounds our nervous systems. And it brings us back to you, you know, brings us back to ourselves. When you're present, you can name what you're feeling. You can ask yourself, what do I need right now? Instead of reacting out of habit and fear, because that's what we do. And when we react out of habit and fear, it's breaking that. And it's also rebuilding new pathways in our brain and relearning what we need to know to live in a more healthy present state, right? I have one client used to shut down conflict all the time, but through present moment tools, she learned to pause, breathe, express her needs, and that changed her relationship, right? Not just with others, but with herself. And also, one thing I want to bring up about presence, living, it also reconnects us to joy. And joy brings us happiness. It allows us to stop in the moment and notice that warm cup of tea we're holding, or the beautiful breeze on our face, or hear your child laugh in the background. These moments add to healing, right? And that is what helps our emotional well-being, is really being tuned in and allowing ourselves, you know, to really recognize what's going around us.
That's beautifully said. I completely agree. Presence is really about awareness with compassion, not perfection or constant calm. It gives people the space to notice their patterns and interrupt those automatic reactions and choose something more aligned with their needs. I love the example you gave of your client. It shows how presence doesn't just shift how we relate to ourselves, but how we show up in connection with others too. It's a gentle but powerful form of rewiring. And I think it isn't just a feel-good concept, it's a foundational part of emotional resilience and healing. So can making small shifts in daily habits help reduce the stress or anxiety that trying to be present can cause?
Absolutely. I love that you asked that. And so many times we're like, we want change, 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 right? But yeah. Fast change isn't, that might temporarily give us gratification. The small shift in daily habits, it not only reduces stress and anxiety, but it makes existing new patterns that can stay with us for a lifetime. You know, for example, I had a client start placing one hand over her heart before stopping to text a difficult ex, right? Mm-hmm. And that 10-second pause helped her regulate her nervous system a little bit instead of reacting in anger. Let me think. Another client began to do 2-minute check-ins every morning. This is a small shift in her, you know, daily habits. But when she did that, she's asking herself, how am I feeling? What do I need? These shifts, excuse me, lowered her baseline stress, increased her self-trust, boost her confidence. You don't need complete lifestyle overloads, right? You need that consistent, doable anchors. In the doable anchors, it's all of us are different. Even if it's only 15 seconds a day, you're trying to be present. That's a great place to start.
Exactly. It's those small, consistent shifts that create the most meaningful and lasting change. And big, dramatic change might feel exciting in the moment, but it often fades without those daily anchors. And those daily anchors are very important. And it's great and encouraging to hear that even small steps matter. I think sometimes we believe change has to be huge or dramatic, don't we? When often it's the small, consistent practices that change our lives and rewire our mind as well and help us. I think they're gentle reminders. They help us build that self-awareness. And over time, those little moments help regulate the nervous system, strengthen our emotional resilience even more, and create a foundation for healthier choices. Thank you for sharing that. And Kerry, what are the small everyday practices, apart from the breathing exercises that you've already shared and placing the hand on the heart, what would you say will help people become more present?
You know, in working with clients, we're all different, right? And everybody needs to find grounding techniques that help them. So I always love for somebody to put together what I call a toolbox. Have 2 or 3 grounding techniques in your toolbox. If you feel you're spiraling, if you feel you're overthinking, if you're getting anxious or walking on eggshells, go to your toolbox, what's there. And the more comfortable you get with it, you can also add on, but start small. And some of the grounding techniques could be one that's very common. grounding with the 5-4-3-2-1, which is naming five things you see, 4 you feel, 3 you hear, 2 you smell, 1 you taste. This grounds you instantly. It can really help. We talked about breathing already. There is the 3-breath pause. When you're overwhelmed, you know, do that 3 deep breath. You know, feel each one slowly. Journaling can help a lot of people too. I have some clients that love journaling, some that feels that it's more of a homework for them, right? To me, one of my favorite is nature anchors me. And even if it's going outside and I only have 1 minute to let the sun hit on my face and listen to the wind go through the trees, or if I have more time, I love doing long walks in nature. Nature gives us so much. There's a whole nother topic on forest bathing, but it gives us so much that can help us relieve stress. And some people find it very beneficial to have present prompts, right? For example, you know, to focus on just you, what is going on right in this moment? What can, you know, how can I feel this emotion? Name the emotion. And what do I need to respond to that emotion? Those are few. You know, there's so much more, but that's a good place to start.
Absolutely. And I love that you've emphasized the idea of a toolbox. I'm very familiar with, and I must admit, I do the grounding toolbox myself. I use that as one of my tools because I love it. I love that technique, and I love the idea of nature as well. Kerry, thank you for sharing such thoughtful and practical wisdom so far. We'll continue this nourishing conversation in just a moment, but first, let's take a short break for a word from our sponsors here on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm here with the fantastic Kerry Ratzenberger, life coach and expert in helping people reconnect with presence, purpose, and peace. Before the break, Kerry shared some incredible insights into why living in the moment matters and how we can begin to integrate it into our daily lives. Let's continue this deeply relevant conversation. Welcome back, Kerry.
So glad to be here.
Before the break, you were sharing a key over time where people can expand their toolbox and become more confident in using it when they need it most. I think those were such beautiful suggestions because they remind us that presence is available to us anytime while we're walking or cooking or listening or even just taking a deep breath. So how do you think social media and technology influence our ability to live in the moment?
They fragment our attention, and they can trigger comparison loops. You know, for example, let's say we're going to go check the weather, but then we decide to get on another social media, and all of a sudden we're comparing our life to somebody else's curated highlight reel. And we all know the highlight reel shows everything that might not really be truly their life. It doesn't show their pain. It doesn't show their struggles. And that can disconnect us from our inner experience. Many times I encourage clients to create boundaries. For example, you know, maybe having 1 hour free from screen in the morning or nighttime before bed, turn off all technology and pick up a book or meditate or find comfort. And you know, we need to look at social media that it's not inherently bad, but we need to use it with intention and to make sure that intention is healthy for us.
I think this really touches on something we all struggle with, the pull of distraction and the challenge of choosing presence in a world that's designed to pull us away from it. And I know myself from my own experience that I've struggled with social media and keeping up all the time with, say, for example, posts that I want to share. And you're spot on. It's really about intentional use rather than total avoidance. When we set clear boundaries around social media, we can reclaim our attention and protect our emotional space. And I love how you emphasize that it's not about demonizing technology, but about making sure it serves us, not drains us. Those small shifts like a screen-free hour or replacing scrolling with a grounding practice can make such a difference. And I really appreciate that you shared that. So talking about appreciation, what role does gratitude play in staying grounded in the present?
I love the word gratitude. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. I just love it. Gratitude shifts our lens from scarcity to abundance and appreciation. And when we can live in abundance and appreciate the day, the moment, it changes our life, right? It doesn't mean we ignore pain. It means we're also noticing what's working in our lives. You know, for example, let me think. I had a client going through a divorce and felt very overwhelmed, and that's always hard. So we came up with a plan and a simple ritual for her. Each night she would write down one thing that brought her peace or beauty for the day. And sometimes it was simple of, I sat for 5 minutes and hugged my dog. And that softens our nervous system. That brings in a beautiful moments in our lives, right? And it makes the present less threatening. And it also gives us nurturing, it gives us self-compassion, it allows us to appreciate what we have in the moment, and that's the beauty of gratitude.
I found that myself, that gratitude acts almost like a gentle anchor, the anchors that you spoke about earlier as well, pulling me back to what's here and what's working, what's meaningful right now. And I really appreciate you sharing that because I think it's so important. I'm like you, I love the word gratitude. It doesn't erase the pain, but it helps us hold both the hard and the beautiful at the same time. And I found there are certain groups or ages who struggle more with presence. I mean, being a therapist myself, I come across this often. For example, with teenagers or working parents, are there certain groups or ages who struggle more with presence that you've experienced yourself?
Oh, definitely, yes. You know, being a teen, even looking back into my own teen years, it's constant. Like, you're always navigating overstimulation, the high pressure of fitting in, you know, identity, trying to figure out who you are, constant comparison. Then they have probably the bullying on top of it, some people, and just trying to keep up with others. And then working parents, boy, do they just, you know, they juggle endless responsibilities. And all of them, the working parents and teens, have so much emotional exhaustion, right? Mm-hmm. Both groups, a lot of times, often say, I just don't have time for the presence, right? I can't do it. I just have to get through the day. And I want, you know, to people to realize to work on the present doesn't mean it requires an hour, okay? If you're feeling rushed, it can be 15 seconds to breathe. And better yet, if you're a working parent, take that 15 seconds and even start it with your children younger of we're just gonna take 3 deep breaths together to try to relax, mm-hmm. and, you know, and try to set ourselves, ground ourselves. It's just learning to bring in those moments to focus on you, right? We need to bring that back to us, because that's going to make us, you know, get through the day more relaxed, less stress. And, you know, taking a walk, put the head, you know, don't listen to the podcast, don't listen to the music. Take the walk in nature and just listen to your surroundings. Listen to the birds, listen to other, you know, beautiful sounds of nature. It's not about quality. I mean, you know, it's about the quality of the attention, not the quantity of time. So I want us to go back to that. You know, if you just have a little bit of time, just do the little bit of time. Keep coming back to that.
And I think that's such an important point, because presence doesn't look the same for everyone. And it's different life stages that bring their own unique challenges and opportunities. And I think it's those small shared moments that can create connection and calm, even in the middle of busy, stressful days. And when parents model that pause, they're not only helping themselves, but also giving their children a lifelong tool for resilience, aren't they? It's a gentle reminder, but powerful way to break the cycle of overwhelm. And I think that's something that a lot of us wish that our parents had taught us, how to manage those moments of overwhelm. And it's never taught. And I think it's such an important life lesson. And it really is so important. So I think the challenges that parents have nowadays has got a lot to do with what children are seeing on social media, and it being such a fast-paced world now with technology. How can parents teach children to be more present without cutting them off from technology?
I think the first place to start is for us to model it, be a good example of us doing it ourselves. You know, the children aren't going to learn this from lectures of this, but when they see us doing it, taking moments, when they see us taking a pause and not responding by yelling because life is so stressful, taking a pause to sit with it and responding with compassion instead of letting anger control us, right? They're going to learn by what we do. But we can also share present moments with them. We can do breathing technique rituals before bed, especially when our kids are little. They're like a sponge. They're just going to absorb so much from us. I think it's important for every family, not only just for adults individually, have screen-free time at meals. You know, no phones at the dinner table. We're going to talk, connect with each other, listen to each other. And I think to teach our kids to invite curiosity into our life, not judgment. You know, lead with, what do you see around you? Taking a walk with a little kid, what do you see around you? Do we see bugs? You know, what do you hear? What is the leaf doing? And also teaching at a young age of, you know, as I mentioned earlier, our mind can go off crazy, but our body is always in the present, right? So how does our body feel right now? Are you feeling anxious? Did that person make you uncomfortable? You know, to pay attention to our body, because our body tells us so much and our gut instinct tells us so much that it happens before it even gets to our brain. And it's important to remember that technology is not our enemy, but it definitely needs balance and boundaries.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I love that it can be as simple as a few deep breaths together before, as you mentioned, dinner or a short gratitude ritual at bedtime. That's really important, or a mindful walk. You're absolutely right. Kids don't learn presence or regulation from words alone. They learn by watching how we live it. And when they see us pause and breathe and respond with compassion instead of anger, they internalize that as normal and safe. That's such a gift we can give them, and it strengthens their learning as well. And I love that. Thank you so much, Kerry, for sharing such thoughtful, practical wisdom. And we'll continue this conversation in just a moment, but let's take another break.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm here with the amazing Kerry Ratzenberger. She's a life coach and expert in helping people reconnect with presence, purpose, and peace. And Kerry, welcome back. Just before the break, we were talking about how we can be helpful to those who are feeling maybe stuck with the idea that technology can take over and we can easily get distracted, and how we can live with that intention by teaching balance and real connection alongside technology. But what are some signs someone may be stuck, perhaps ruminating on the past or worrying about the future?
I love that we're talking about this, because let's first talk about our physical signs. Once again, we're going to pull into our body before we go to our thoughts. Ruminating can cause us being sick to our stomach, our heart palpitating, sweaty palms. When I used to be stuck in that, my jaw would lock and I'd get tense, neck. And a lot of times we get the physical signs before it even goes into looping our thoughts, you know, that continuous, what am I going to do? They're going to do it. You know, how am I going to get hurt? Replaying that conversation over and over, and that can go on for hours, imagining the worst case scenarios. So noticing those signs is where we can start taking the pause and then challenge it. I remember once a client said to me, she felt like it's a constant rehearsing her pain. That's a huge red flag. Yeah. You know, presence, being in the presence and learning how to do it, it helps us interrupt those loops. And, you know, we can do it by asking, what's happening right now? What am I feeling? Is that thought true? And it's not, when we get stuck in that, we're creating a lot of negative core beliefs and the thoughts aren't true. And then we could say, how can I get myself safe in this moment? And then you could go into your toolbox, right? And whatever it is, grounding your feet, taking deep breaths, and even, you know, naming what you're feeling. I'm feeling overwhelmed. What's causing it? And when we name it, it helps break the spiral and takes us to our first step of becoming present.
That's such a powerful explanation, Kerry. I really appreciate how you highlight the physical signs as the first doorway into awareness, even before the thought spiral. It's so true. Our bodies often alert us before our minds catch up, whether it's a tight jaw, a clenched stomach, or sweaty palms. And I love that idea of pausing and challenging those loops by asking what's happening right now, or is this thought actually true? It creates the space between the thought and the reaction, which is where real change can begin. So, Kerry, can you share how can coaching support someone in becoming more present?
Well, both therapy and coaching, you know, they're both really important, you know, because both of we help people feel safe enough to pause and to feel comfortable in relying on themselves, self-validation, self-trust, right? And to guide somebody, you know, into how they're feeling in their body, into their motion, to gain clarity, but to gain it with curiosity, not with judgment, you know, and to help clients recognize their patterns. What are their triggers? Breathing helps them, you know, move through that. To respond, this is a really big one, to respond from choice instead of from fear. That's huge. You know, what is your intention? And don't let fear decide your choice of taking you back into your comfort zone, which your comfort zone might not be healthy. You know, one client recently said to me, I never realized I could feel anger and not act on it. I just needed to be present with it, to sit with it, to feel with it. That's what support offers, a safe place to practice being and being connected to you. Excuse me.
That's such an important reminder that we don't have to figure this all out alone. Having someone walk alongside us can make all the difference. But what's the difference between healthy presence and escapism or avoidance? Because some people want to avoid the issue, or they don't want to address it, and they do deliberately distract themselves with things like social media.
The first thing that comes to my mind, presence invites awareness. In awareness and being aware of what the truth really is, that allows us to heal and make healthy decisions, right? Escapism avoids it all, or avoidance. You know, an example that comes to my head is watching TV. You know, it can be restful, but it can also be numbing. It depends on your intention. When we're present in a healthy presence, we're asking ourselves, am I connected to myself right now? Whereas escapism, avoiding, we're looking at it, how can I not feel this? So presence, we might say right now, I'm feeling overwhelmed, my body is tired. So with intention, we're saying I need to rest. In resting, I can watch a happy-go-lucky TV show for an hour to make me feel good. But if we're doing it the other way of avoidance, we can go in binging on Netflix and we're doing a whole day just to avoid feeling anything. And I think presence also allows us to choose things with a consciousness versus a fear, and fear makes us avoid.
That distinction is so powerful, because presence doesn't mean numbing or running. It means meeting life fully, and I love that, even when it's difficult. So Kerry, can you share a personal story or an example? I know you've shared many examples of when you've worked with your clients, but where living in the moment made a meaningful difference for you or a client. If you have a personal experience, that will be great.
Absolutely. You know, after a major personal loss years ago, you know, I found myself spiraling, being stuck with what ifs, the regrets of what I didn't do. And, you know, that person passing away, I should have, I could have. And I sat in that, God, for weeks of just in the past, beating myself up. And then it even got into negative core beliefs. You know, there's nothing good about me. You know, we just can beat ourselves up and self-sabotage. And one day I just took a walk outside, and for the first time I found real peace and week of just noticing. It was really the birds. I don't know. They were so singing that day, and it really took me in to really deep, you know, breathing. And that breath became a lifeline. You know, it became a moment of change, of really catching myself and saying, wow, I was really creating thoughts that weren't true. And, you know, I'm not a bad person, and I'm not this. And, you know, being stuck in the past, if I fought it, continued to fight it, right? Then I'm making myself suffer longer. And there's nothing I can do. The past happened because that's what it was. That's reality. Just like Byron Katie says in her book, Loving What Is, if we fight with our past, we lose 110% time, you know, time, because we're always going to lose because it happened. That was reality. So that awareness really made me get into getting back into the gratitude, right? Appreciating what was, and really focusing on allowing myself to grieve, because sometimes we bury grief because it's too painful when somebody passes away, right? Yes. And we stick in that suffering. And so it allowed me to sit with the pain and sit with the hurt and to heal, you know. And I think of another story a client told me, is that when she felt a panic attack coming on, you know, she remembered, you know, going into her toolbox, feel your feet, ground them on the ground. And she did. And that panic attack passed, right? And that brought her to the power of presence. And when we come to the power of presence, it's where we meet who we are. And that allows us to come back home to ourselves.
And it's such a beautiful reminder that change often begins in the smallest, most ordinary moments, and that we can find peace not by pushing the pain away, but by meeting it with gentle awareness again. Thank you so much for sharing that. Finally, what's one practical takeaway you'd love listeners to try after this episode?
Okay, I would love for everyone to try this right now, as long as they are not driving or at a place they have to pay attention. If you have a moment for yourself, let's all do this together. I want everyone to close your eyes, place your hand on your heart, take one deep breath slowly, and then ask yourself, what do I need right now? You just did a few seconds of living in the presence. That's what it is. One moment of presence, it starts here. Let that be enough to start your journey of learning how to be present more and living in the present. And you can add on to it from there.
That's beautiful. Kerry, thank you so much for joining me today. Your warmth, insight, and generosity have been such a gift, not just for me, but for everyone listening. Where can our listeners find you, Kerry?
You can find me on Instagram at Kerry Life Coach. I also have my website, which is www.kerryrosenberger.com. And I would, if you have any questions, you know, you can, my email's there, email me. I would love to send you tips, or you can DM me through my Instagram account. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
You're more than welcome. And to all of you tuning in, thank you for being part of this Mental Health Week special on the Healthy Debate Show. I'm Belinda Walia, and I hope today's conversation leaves you with a little more courage to slow down, breathe deeply, and remind yourself that this moment right now is where life is happening. To close today's episode, I want to leave you with a song that perfectly captures this message. This is Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield, a song that reminds us that each day is a blank page, a fresh start, and that the most powerful story we can live is the one we create moment by moment. This is the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio, where your well-being matters most.
Can't read my mind, I'm undefined.